B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, September 10th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. We got a very special episode for you today because we are out at day one of the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. We were told very specifically we have to stop saying Nevada.
Of physical violence.
I'm sure we're going to do it anyway. Las Vegas, Nevada at the MGM Convention Center right here. By the way, a beautiful convention center. It's really awesome. So, we're out here covering all the latest in esports and gaming. Of course, major event going on here. Really the backbone of the next probably 5-10 years of esports is going to be happening out here. So, for today's podcast, we've got the kind of the best discussions and interviews that have that happened at the booth on day one. So we hope you guys enjoy. Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP. Your home for esports and gaming. Joining us now is Megan Kuczynski. She is the managing director for the Esports Business Summit. Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here. So this is the second year for the Esports Business Summit. And already, I got to tell you, you guys have come so far in a year. Can you tell me what the last year has been like?
It's just been an incredible year of growth for the industry, and we love Beasley, by the way.
Thank you.
One of our first companies to join with us and collaborate with us. The event is ahead by every measure. We have about 83 new companies that are coming in on the attendee side. I heard you, Norris, talking about the collegiate side of the business. You're going to see a lot of universities and colleges in attendance that are building out their esports program. So tremendous growth, excitement. A lot of people want to collaborate and do business and have partnerships. And at the summit, we provide information and we provide a context and a direction for the market.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about sort of the genesis of the Esports Business Summit. We know it's an emerging market. We know there's a lot of investment that's going into it currently. You know, what was sort of the calculus behind creating the Esports Business Summit and not necessarily focus on, you know, player growth or, you know, the normal things that you see people talk about esports?
Well, how it was born. We are providers of content. So we have Synopsys Media, the esports newsletter that Synopsys produces, in addition to the sports, Event Marketer, Chief Marketer magazines. And we have all of these readers that are trying to figure it out, brands want to know how to get into the teams and the leagues and how to have activations at the live events. So we looked at all of this information we're providing digitally, and we wanted to bring it to the market in 3D. That's what I look at the Esports Summit, is all of the data that we're providing anyway in 3D. It's about connection, it's about personal relationships, and it's about moving the business forward.
One of the big changes, or one of the big panels that we have, and it's actually just getting ready to kick off in a little while here, is women in esports, which is such a majorly important section of esports, and it's one that has been kind of criminally underserved for the better part of, well, the genesis of esports. Can you talk to us about the importance of women in esports and getting in the scene and being involved at an event like this?
We believe it is absolutely critical, and there are so many powerhouse women in the industry, and that we wanted to bring them together to celebrate them and also address issues that they are facing as leaders in the industry. And so we really believe that diversity and inclusion is such an important part of the esports market, and so we brought the powerhouses to come and really articulate that.
So I'm curious as to what are some of your favorite parts of the Esports Business Summit this year, outside of obviously the Women in Esports panel, which is completely, completely comprehensive. I mean, I believe it's, what, 4 or 5 hours long? It's a really long panel.
And there's a party at the end for them.
That's right.
That's why we called it a bash.
That's right. But outside of that, what are you also looking forward to here at the summit this year?
I don't think you'll ever see a conference with this many C-level people on the in the faculty. So all the leadership in the market is going to be coming together to talk to you, to tell the challenges, to network. The keynotes are unbelievable. We have Ryan Hyatt, the global head of gaming for YouTube, kicking off the event this afternoon. And then we have, just on the brand side, Via from Gillette. We have Brad Haranga from General Mills. We have the heavyweights on the brand sides. And then we have the State of the Unions, which you're going to hear from executives, say, from Riot and from all the different publishers that also have leagues and games, just talking about the State of the Union. And then the networking and the events that are happening after hours, I have to say it's an embarrassment of riches. It's an embarrassment of riches. So tonight we have the Microsoft Gears Showcase event, corresponding with the launch of Gears 5, taking place at the HyperX Arena. And that's a charity event for Gamers Outreach, who's also here on the show floor. The winning team will dedicate one of their go-karts to the hospital of their choice.
And these wonderful.
Are the Reciprocity and Ghosts are the two top teams in the country. So they're going to be here playing, and that's at the HyperX. And then also at Topgolf, we have Super League Gaming doing a tournament. And that's a big networking event, too. It's sold out. You have to whisper in my ear if I can find another pass or two.
Can you let us in, please?
Yes, but don't tell anybody.
Okay. You've just told everyone on Twitch.
Okay, keep it on the down low,
okay.
Twitch.
You got it.
And then we have the Tempest Awards.
Awesome. Yes, the Tempest Awards. Awesome. The Tempest Esports Business Awards. For those who don't know, you'll also be able to find that here on Checkpoint XP. If you're curious about that, you can watch it here on this very channel. If you want to see some of the heavyweights of the esports world and who's going to be winning some of those awards. So you can check that out here as well.
And that's going to be on a Wednesday night. One thing I need to talk about, and it strikes to the most important, I think the heart of the Esports Business Summit, is so much of what is seen in esports is the front-facing media. It's the personalities. It's the people on Twitch. It's Bugo winning $3 million at Fortnite. It isn't the back end. It isn't the backbone that makes it all happen. And I know Europe's a little bit more into that than maybe North America is, but this is like the conference in North America for that. The back end, what makes everything go. Can you speak to the importance of that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And we believe that, you know, we are looking at this market as the complete ecosystem. It's a celebrity-driven industry. I was at the Fortnite World Cup. It was mind-blowing, to say the least. But we, for an example, at the Tempest, we are going to honor people that are involved in the back end and in the planning, the venues, the technology, in addition to the stars.
Awesome. Yeah. So I definitely want to ask, you know, how did you get involved with esports? What piqued your interest into this industry? You know, do you have a background as a gamer? What got you here?
Now, that's another excellent question. I would say I'm a media executive. In terms of my background, I've worked at some of the top media companies in the world, and I love focusing on disruptive technologies. So I was drawn to that. I also have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old who are diehard Fortnite players, and they are thrilled that I'm here, and I have to get Lupo's autograph for them. So cool. I'm kind of looking at it from that generation. That generation is coming up. And that's their future. So they're really kind of tracking what they're doing is really insightful to what's to come.
It really does seem like, you know, whereas past generations might have, you know, grown out of gaming or, you know, put it away with the kids stuff, the upcoming generation, even our generation and the upcoming one, really does continue to value gaming as a very important part of their life. And I feel like because of that, we're only going to see esports grow and permeate further into mainstream culture as maybe the prior generation begins to phase out and this generation phases in.
I agree. And, you know, I think there's a real respect for the athleticism that's involved. And just going back to the Fortnite World Cup, the top 100 players in the world, those weren't the entertainers. They were the real diehard people that are practicing for 13, 14 hours a day. So there's just an honor and a respect for how hard they're working and what skill they have.
Megan Kuzinski. She is the managing director for the Esports Business Summit. She's been our very first guest here out at the Esports Business Summit. Megan, thank you so much for your time.
I'm deeply honored. Thank you so much.
Thank
it's going to be a great week.
It is. We're going to have more coming to you from the Esports Business Summit at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We are out here live at the Esports Business Summit at the MGM Casino in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. So we need to talk about where esports has been.
That's right.
Because this is one of the largest esports events of the year, at least from the business perspective of it. I think it's a good time for us to take a look back. We've now had our 1 year anniversary.
That's
of
right.
Checkpoint XP. This event is celebrating. It was announced at the first ever Esports Business Summit a year ago. We need to take a look back. So I wanted to ask you about that. Esports has changed so much in the past 1 year, 5 year, 10 years. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. So maybe we'll just go through each of those time frames and kind of talk about it.
Let's start way back in the day.
You want to talk? Well, I think we would start 1 year and then work our way back, wouldn't we?
Fine.
Okay. I mean, what's changed in the last year for
Money.
Esports?
That's
probably going to be a theme throughout, I feel like.
I mean, the level of investment that we have seen, even just over the past year, the endemics and non-endemics that have gotten involved, right? So when we look at 1 year, I think the biggest story over the past year, obviously, is Overwatch League, right?
So Fortnite
and Overwatch.
Fortnite's
ascendancy is absolutely unseen, but it still has sort of it's not quite there as an esport, as a fully formed, fleshed out, it's out of its chrysalis stage esport, right? But Overwatch is big league. It's about as big league as it gets.
Yeah.
And they figured out the entire foundation and apparatus that they are going to be taking in the future. And I think what makes Overwatch so interesting over the past year is how quickly they've been able to shift the paradigm in esports. Because previously, esports teams could be from anywhere, staffed by anyone, participate in anything, and that was the norm. And what we saw with Overwatch League is that big push to not just the franchise model, but now geolocation, creating a true home and away paradigm, talking about, you know, a playoff system that mimics a traditional sports playoff system, but now they've gone to a double elim system, which is very esports. But I think in that 1 year, that is one of the biggest players in the space that completely has changed everything in esports.
Yeah, I think the biggest change I've seen over the last year in esports, you kind of hit on it right at the beginning. It's the introduction of non-endemic brands into the esports space. For the longest time, the extent of sponsorship that you saw in the esports space was like NVIDIA, Red Bull, name, you know, three other, Corsair, a couple other
hardware makers.
Yeah, all very classic gaming developers and hardware makers. What we've really seen over the last year is the, you know, car brands, MasterCard, Coca-Cola.
What we would call non-endemic sponsors. Sponsors that weren't birthed out of video games.
Right. It's the people that you'd see, more likely see sponsoring an NFL broadcast in the past. You know what I mean? So I feel like for me, the biggest thing that we've seen over the last year is the true embracing of esports by non-endemic brands. And I don't just mean like, oh, yeah, we're getting involved in esports. And by that, I mean, you know, you'll see our logo somewhere and that's it. real, meaningful engagement on the on behalf of, like, a Nike really springs to mind on that one.
No, for sure. And the best part is over the past year, you're not just seeing pantomime, right? You're not seeing, you know, brands pay lip service to esports and, you know, not necessarily diving all the way in, getting to understand the culture. I think certain brands have done better jobs than others. I think Red Bull probably is the first non-endemic that got involved a few years ago.
Endemic, like Red Bull kind of became endemic, it feels endemic. Like, doesn't it?
No, it's true. They got in so early that they became an endemic sponsor throughout everything that they were doing. So I really do think that, you know, Red Bull did a great job at getting in and understanding what the culture was.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the next step for a lot of brands nowadays. But you're right, the fact that Toyota and Honda and, you know, a lot of these other big non-gaming brands have gotten involved with esports has changed the landscape 100%.
All right, so let's shift our focus from 1 year out to 5 years out.
Yeah.
What to you has been the biggest change in the esports landscape over the last 5 years?
The franchise model. I would say the concept of the franchise model and the full development of the live event. I think previously, esports 5 years ago really had found its form as live events. You talk about League of Legends, you talk about the International, you talk about Evo. Really, a lot of those events over the past 5 years really found their footing as world-class broadcasts. And I mean, and also Twitch, the advent of Twitch, which has changed not just esports. Everything. It's changed everything. It's been one of the most disruptive websites, one of the most disruptive technologies that has come out in any way, shape, or form. You know, so I think those will probably be the biggest two to me, is that the live event and Twitch.
Yeah, I think for me, it is the kind of the growth and development of the live fan experience. Mm-hmm. The thought,
brand activation.
Right. Even 5-6 years ago, the thought of an event, you know, selling out Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, it was kind of laughable. I mean, you know, maybe one time a big event would come to town. And
the International tournament, like the biggest one that there is.
And it would do well. But the idea of just like, you know, the season one finals of Overwatch League selling out Barclays or, you know, major things like DreamHack coming to town and having great live attendance numbers. The things that we've seen where teams now will come. When we were at LCA, we saw a whole fan experience with every team in the league present and, you know, meeting fans and giving out merch and all that stuff. That has come so far. I think for me, that's the biggest change, if not literally the idea of having franchise teams. Like, those are like the things that have really, really stuck over the last 5 years.
That's right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Right now, we're just sort of talking about the past 10, 5, and 1 year in esports, sort of breaking it down, talking about how the space has grown, and talking about really what some of the biggest changes in the history of esports and what they've done to help grow the space.
All right, Norris, I need you to harken back to 2009, the early days of what we would call the modern esports era. Because before that, I feel like before 2009, esports then didn't mean the same thing that it does now.
It doesn't. I think, first of all, I don't think esports was really like the blanket term. You know what I mean? I think 10 years ago, people were...
You said like competitive StarCraft or MLG or...
People were perfectly okay being in sort of like their communities. You know, everything was broken down and it was even more tribal than what it is now. It was very insular. And I think 10 years ago... I think, and as strange as it sounds, I think there were only two, maybe three games I really could have seen getting bigger than what they are now. I think you saw, obviously, League of Legends. I think you saw the groundswell there. Was Dota even out a decade ago? Dota 2? I'm not even sure.
I think it was, because League of Legends came out 2009, so I feel like Dota would have been out already.
Okay, yeah, so that was out. But I feel like really the only ones that had it quote-unquote figured out was stuff like StarCraft and like the FGC. because the FGC has such a long legacy going all the way back to like 1991.
Right.
The first sponsored, you know, Capcom sponsored tournament was all the way back in 1991 in California. And so you have that legacy that went all the way back. And then you have StarCraft, which, you know, you talk about Street Fighter and StarCraft, that's basically the birth of esports, in my opinion.
And Counter-Strike, yeah.
And Counter-Strike, for sure.
That would probably be the trinity of the original.
Yeah, for sure. But 10 years ago, I don't think anybody really saw this become as large as what it is now. I think you saw it as something that would be sort of a companion to what you are already into. I don't think you would have seen people that say, oh, I am a esports fan.
Yeah, that's kind of leading into what I would say is 10 years ago, the term esports really, I don't think, had a whole lot of meaning to it. For me, at that era, competitive video gaming still meant going to a LAN party and maybe winning a video card for taking first place in something. You know what I mean? Like, that's to me what competitive gaming meant back then. For me, I think the biggest thing that we've seen over the last 10 years is not just acceptance more in the mainstream of esports, but even in the gaming space of what esports, where finally gamers were willing to back it and say, no, this there's something here. This is... competitive gaming can be a thing that people would actually want to watch. And again, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Twitch.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that esports gets anywhere without Twitch. I just don't think it happens.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a difficult thing to really consume until Twitch came along. And we did have a correction. Dota 2 was out 2013. Dota 1 was
Dota
out
1,
2003. So there were scenes, but again, on the level of StarCraft, you know, I'm not sure. But I think you're absolutely right. I think the fragmented nature of esports began to really build itself into a cohesive thing around Twitch and around, you know, what Twitch could provide to consumers. And I think in the same way that that ESPN sort of homogenized the consumption of sports and professional sports, sort of stripped away how local it was and stripped away how, you know, fragmented it could have been, and really put forth, you can consume any sport you want to 24 hours a day. I think Twitch really did that for esports.
Well, we want to hear from you. What were the big changes in esports that you've seen over the past 1, 5, 10 years? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. We'll have more coming up next from the Esports Business Summit at the MGM Conference Center in Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
All right, we are back with more from the Esports Business Summit here in Las Vegas, Nevada. MGM Grand Casino Hotel Resorts Convention Center, all the above, all the great stuff going on here. Talking about esports, and we have a very special guest. We have Jacob PRRC. He's a caster for Gears 5 moving forward. And there's going to be a big show match going on with Gears 5, a big charity match here at the Esports Business Summit. Jacob, welcome to the show.
And thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm actually glad to be here. It's my first time even being at an Esports Business Summit. So I'm actually really, really surprised, excited to be here, not only for the casting portion, Gears portion, where my passion lies, but just being able to experience this and network with other like-minded individuals in the industry.
Exactly. And so, you know, I want to talk a little bit first about you and about Gears 5. What was your sort of entry into the Gears of War community, and how did you become a caster?
My entry actually started from my brother, who's not like in esports. He actually got the 360, Xbox 360, and I was at his house when he got it, and I fell in love with the game. It was kind of unlike any other, being a third-person shooter at the time. There weren't really many titles like it around, and just the gore, the story mode being so dark, and it was supposed to be a horror-type game, it kind of got me hooked. And then me being a naturally competitive person at heart, that kind of linked together, and I realized there was a competitive scene for the game through game battles and MLG, and then from there it kind of took off. And for the most of my time, when in terms of casting, I did it voluntarily through a company called Hypestation. And they kind of let me play, and I was kind of a player in their league, and I was able to cast as well.
Yeah.
And from there, it kind of just worked out. And one person I forgot to mention is the guy, you know, we were talking about him before, Blaze.
Yeah.
He's actually the kind of the face right now of Gears of War in terms of casting. He's actually getting other opportunities in other games as well, so congratulations to him. But he actually gave me the first opportunity. It was an online match between one of the pro teams from another game and then a nice up-and-coming team. And then from there, it just kind of took off. I just enjoyed it. I love entertaining. I love making jokes and just having fun.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, you know, Gears 5 just released. Big title. What is your opinion so far of Gears 5? We got some folks that play a lot of Gears. What's your opinion of the game so far?
I think they have a good foundation right now for the game. The launch isn't going exactly how they planned, but realistically, sometimes it happens for big games when you have this many people, especially through the Game Pass that they have out. There's so many people trying to log on and play the game, plus new features. It kind of tends to happen. I hope they, you know, get control of it quick, which they already started fixing a couple of things. But overall, I think the game is in a good spot. Does need some improvements, some tweaks, but compared to other games where we were at in the beginning of the life cycle, I think we're pretty good in terms of gameplay.
Yeah. And so what do you think that'll do for the competitive scene right now? I mean, the competition for being a premier esport is probably the hottest it's ever been right now. You know, where do you think Gears can sort of fit, especially as we see Call of Duty and some of the other big names, you know, making these really huge plays into funding their esports, if you will?
I think franchising and what Call of Duty and Overwatch and even League of Legends is something good for the future. But I think right now with Gears, we need to kind of stick to what we're doing right, and that's making it easily accessible, to make it an open competition for a lot of these players, because that's where we kind of strive through the amateur and through the open portion of our community. So I think we're going to have to kind of step it up and come together and kind of build on that foundation, which is the game, in terms of our leagues and our community. We had two great seasons of Gears of War 4. We had a good season of Gears of War UE, actually another two seasons of Gears of War UE. So we're making progress as a community. We're making progress as a game, and we just need to continue doing what we're doing and just working as a team, as a family.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Right now, we are joined by Jacob PRRC. He's a caster for Gears 5, Gears Community, all things Gears of War. And so I want to talk to you about the event that's supposed to be going on here at the Esports Business Summit, the big charity match between, Ghost Gaming and I don't want to get the team wrong. Is it Reciprocity?
Yep, you actually got it perfect.
Reciprocity.
You said them second. That's how I know you got it perfect.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was before. Gordian slip, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, let us know a little bit about the show match going on.
It's actually a really good way to showcase the game. Obviously, we had E-League, which is a national televised tournament that happened. This is actually for charity. So realistically, everybody here is a winner. You get a free trip to Vegas, and you kind of get to enjoy. But you have two teams, Reciprocity and Ghost, to the end of Gears of War 4. They really were neck and neck almost the entire time. Luckily for Ghost, you know, they got the upper hand quite a few of those times, but the most recent showing in Gears of War 5 at E-League, it was really a round 13 nail biter, came down to the end. And so to me, it's really good on Gears and the Esports Business Summit to put on this match, not only for charity, but to put on for such great competition that's going to happen. Because like you stated, this is right now going to be probably one of the bigger seasons for Gears in terms of competition. And so I think a lot of the teams are going to fight neck and neck all the way through the season.
And so what are you guys as a community, as a Gears community, hoping to, you know, get out of the Esports Business Summit? Obviously, it's for charity, and you want to perform at the highest level so you can do the best for the fundraising. But, you know, here at the Esports Business Summit, you know, what are you guys sort of looking at to show off the game? What do you hope happens in the long run?
I hope we get some new eyes, and not necessarily only get new eyes, but keep those eyes on the game, because that's one of the things is we need to have that viewership there, and we need to make it very welcoming to new players, new viewers. And that's something that I think at the Esports Business Summit that they can do really well here is network with the right companies, with the right people, and get better. Not better, because actually Microsoft and Gears of War's marketing, amazing. Yeah. Never seen anything like it. So not necessarily better marketing, but just maybe different connections, a way to appeal to different audiences and things like that. And so I think this is a perfect place for that to happen. Even myself as an individual are kind of looking to do the same thing.
So yeah, what are you looking forward to on a personal level to the Esports Business Summit, maybe outside of Gears of War a little bit?
Well, outside of Gears of War, I have my own thing. I'm a partner streamer on Twitch. My subs, my community is called The Funky Bunch. Started off as a very elite group. We actually competed in Gears as friends first. We didn't necessarily look for the best talent. We were like, okay, we get along, we're friends, we see each other in real life, let's play. It just so happened at those tournaments we were getting top 4, top 5, right. Top 6, and it took off. So when I was able to cast, people recognized the Funky Bunch for what it was. So, you know, when my subs and everything, I'm just trying to build a community, build a family, and just be able to offer and give back, because a lot of people don't know, without these viewers, without these people supporting you, even the biggest stars such as Ninja don't really exist.
It's true.
So you need to be able to kind of give back and show that appreciation for those people supporting you. You almost support them as much as they're supporting you.
That's right. And so we're asking everybody this here that we have on the show on Checkpoint XP. What do you think is the future of esports in the next year?
Let me think about that one for a second, because you even see right now, I got a smile on my face, because I remember watching this a couple years ago, esports, and they were kind of selling out ballrooms. The Hypha Station I talk about, we were in ballrooms, hotels, and now esports in general, we're selling out stadiums worldwide, not big stadiums in small towns. We're selling Madison Square Garden and other major stadiums around the world, and to me, this is just the beginning. You see multi-million dollar buy-ins for franchise video games, and to me, that's just the start of something that I think is going to be maybe even bigger than sports, because you even look at sports, it's not accessible to everybody. Some people aren't as big, some people are as fast, some people simply aren't as strong. But in video games and esports, it's widely open to literally the majority of people on the planet, even the universe, if people are out there, if they got good enough Wi-Fi. But to me, it's just, it has the opportunity, it has the potential to be just massive globally.
Yeah. Yeah, and so where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find your content?
I have many social media platforms where I like to post. Twitter is the one I kind of post as my diary, kind of twitter.com/Jacobs_MVPR. I also stream on Twitch at PR_X. I have a YouTube where you can search me up at JacobMVPR the same. And I mean, that's really it. Instagram, ITSPR.
All right, well, that was Jacob PRRC coming to us from the Esports Business Summit. He's a caster for the Gears community. I'll just put it that way. And thank you for joining us so much on Checkpoint XP.
Thank you for having me. Anytime you guys need me, just give me a call.
That's right. We're going to have more from the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas coming up.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. We are at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Convention Center. We are currently going over some of the biggest news and headlines coming out of the Esports Business Summit. We've obviously had some great interviews today. We appreciate having everyone along. Norris,
yeah,
there's been some some big news.
That's right.
That we've been sitting on. We hinted at it on the Checkpoint podcast last week.
We did.
Some news that we've had to sit on and be very quiet, but you in particular,
that's right.
We all have, but you in particular have been working very hard on this project for the better part of the whole summer, basically.
Yeah.
And as of just a moment ago, the press release has gone out and we are officially allowed to talk about it.
That's right.
So, Norris, tell us about Checkpoint XP on campus.
That is right, guys. Checkpoint XP on campus is going to be, or is, one of the first forays into substantive esports coverage on the collegiate level. As it stands right now, there is no way for everybody to go and find out everything going on in college esports. And we are taking on the massive, massive undertaking of centralizing all of that content for you, for students across North America to be able to not only share, but to also participate in collegiate esports. And really, I'm so excited about this project, low-key, Joe.
So, if you don't mind, I'm just going to ask you some questions about it.
Sure.
So, you guys are in partnership with UNLV.
That's correct.
That's where this started anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What if I'm not a UNLV fan?
Well, that's the thing, is this entire thing is going to be what we call college agnostic. So, our broadcast partner is UNLV, and they're helping us not only use the studios there to present the show, but they're also providing us with talent. We have Daniel and Jacob, who are absolutely excellent, who have been helping me host the show, as well as helping me give extra context to the collegiate scene, is something that they've been following very closely. But if you are not from UNLV or not a student at UNLV, what you can do is submit work or submit stories from your college campuses to checkpointxp.com or hit us up through various social media channels and share with us clips, or if you're a journalism student, share with us stories of the esports scene on your campus. And it's going to be something that is going to continue to grow and mature as we, you know, grow the brand itself. And part of why we're doing this, Joe, is we looked at the landscape of esports and we said, you know what? There are a ton of kids who are not pros.
Oh, yeah.
There are a ton of kids who are consumers of esports, but and also participants who probably won't make it to the pro level, but at the same time provide just as much electrifying content as the pro scene.
Well, that's really the thing, because making it to the pros and, you know, competing at Worlds, while that is maybe the pinnacle, that is far from the only way to succeed in the world of esports. I mean, frankly, I would consider if you get a scholarship to go to college competing in esports, I call that being successful in your esports career.
I'd be inclined to agree. And on top of that, another thing that we've seen as a trend in esports as a whole is that concept of geolocation. And what is more endemic to somebody's local identity or, you know, cultural identity than the schools that they attend? A lot of times, even at the high school level, if you're from, you know, let's say Southeast Michigan or anywhere in a major metropolitan area, part of what you do to communicate with people when they're first meeting you, hey, oh man, I grew up in Chicago too. What high school did you go to?
Yep.
What college did you go to? It's something that people use to identify themselves, I mean, throughout the entire country.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do with this is have people create that identity around esports and say, oh yeah, well, you know, I did play a little college ball. Oh, what'd you play? League of Legends.
Oh, I can't wait till we hear things like that.
I want that.
Can you tell me a little bit about the cast? Because mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people out there might be thinking like, oh, it's gonna be the four guys that we're used to.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No, it's not. So what we're going to be doing is I will be the lead host for Checkpoint XP on campus. I'll be helping sort of direct the flow of the conversations. And that's when we'll throw it to our partners out at the UNLV studio. And what they'll be doing is not only reporting on the happenings of the college esports scene throughout the nation, they'll also be getting in touch with affiliates across the country, schools across the country that have submitted stories that want to share what's going on their college campus as it pertains to esports. Whether it be somebody in the organization helping to get everything together, whether it's the new star mid laner for League of Legends or the star support player in Overwatch. Sometimes it could be a coach, or maybe it's just somebody who's taking on the responsibility to start a esports club on their campus. It's a platform that we want to use to help spread the gospel of esports throughout every college in America. And don't worry, if you're not at UNLV, everybody can participate.
So when and where, I guess, is the next question. When and where does this all begin? When does it get underway? I mean, I imagine we're not going to see any of this till the winter, right?
Lies. So what you can look forward to is episode one will be airing on Checkpoint XP or twitch.tv/CheckpointXP Thursday at 10 Eastern.
Wow.
We've already got the first episode under our belt. And don't get me wrong, it is episode one. This thing will get more polished, better. It'll get more awesome as time goes on. But we've already had a really, really great show with episode one. The co-hosts, Daniel Agbuya and Jacob Brothers, they've provided some awesome commentary, and they're really great. They're very, very entrenched and excited about what we're putting together. And the UNLV studios and all the crew over there have done a wonderful job at making it look awesome. So we're going to be providing that to you Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, and that's going to be the static time. So if you're on the West Coast, you'll be able to check it out at 7 p.m. It will be at that time. So if you are a college student and you are into esports, this is the show you want to interface with. Whether you're a student that wants to show off how good they are, or whether you're somebody who wants to cover esports in the future as a journalist, this is the place that you want to talk to, and these are the folks that you want to get connected with.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the college scene, it's always been so, I mean, even more than the pro scene, more grassroots. Yeah. I mean, there are very few, I'm not sure I can name a single program on a college campus that started as a mandate from the school as opposed to a club that someone
yeah,
started.
Well, even, you know, one of the top programs in the country, UC Irvine, which mm-hmm. we have had the pleasure of attending,
yes.
Started off as a student organization, as TAG, the Student Association of Gamers. So it's something that is incredibly grassroots, and what we want to do is begin to empower those campuses to support their esports program. So even if it is just a club, if we go to a school and say, hey, this is a way for you guys to get exposed, exposure for your campus, exposure for your student body, you know, maybe even, you know, if you want to do a massive campaign and start talking about folks getting scholarships, this is a way that we can do it. Because you're right, it's incredibly fragmented. It could be a club, it could be run through the athletics department, it could be run through, you know, any number of departments throughout a campus. And so this is a way for us to begin to centralize those sort of efforts and make it sort of a one-stop shop for everything college esports.
Checkpoint XP on campus debuts this Thursday right here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. That's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you tune in for the very first episode. Guys, that's going to do it for day one coverage out here at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're at the MGM Convention Center. Don't worry, though. We are going to be back for each of the next 2 days. We are going to have more interviews, more coverage, tons going on. Hopefully the next couple days are going to be a lot less set up and a lot more going on. We're hopeful anyway. Anyway, we'll have reports coming to you from each of the major State of the Unions that we're going to be looking forward to. So make sure you tune in for that. And guys, again, Thursday, make sure you are here at 10 p.m. for the first episode of Checkpoint XP on campus. Thanks so much for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, Checkpoint XP, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, brand management by Chad Callahan, and of course, our co-hosts and everyone back in Detroit, Robbie Landis and Nate Bender, and right here with me, Norris Howard. Mm-hmm. I'm Joe Sloan. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.